Jesus went around to all of the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord. During this season of pre-election frantic behavior, the word that comes to my mind again and again is promises. Everybody is promising something, promising that each candidate will be better than all the other candidates, promising that problems that have existed in the country and even internationally will be taken care of if you just elect the right individual. Promises that our economy will improve, promises that are various kinds of tension that's so common in their communities would be resolved. I mean, again and again, we're promised things by all of these candidates and the news people who kind of spin it to suit their own needs. It's overwhelming, the fact that we have all these promises. And experience tells us that not a whole lot will come of those promises. We will elect the right people, I hope, and they'll do what they need to do in order to fulfill the responsibilities of their office. But an awful lot of those promises, which are made with great sincerity during the campaign time, those promises are lost in the shuffle. They disappear, and we kind of forget them, and then expediency takes over. And we begin operating on not the fulfillment of promises, but rather the survival in the political system. I find that very discouraging, and I'm sure other people do as well. It's one of the reasons that the percentage is so low in terms of our voting record, particularly among young people. So here we have this awkward situation where we're promised so many things. The promises aren't made, they don't make good on the promises, and we're left to kind of survive as best we can. Shift that now to Jesus and his teaching and see how out of line he is with the best that our society has to offer in the political realm. Jesus, again, and this appears in the first reading today, but it's also is verified in the gospel reading. Jesus promises things, very clear promises, and the promises come from the tradition that's reflected in the first reading. And you know, it's a hopeful thing because God makes all these promises to us, and we have to decide whether or not we're going to follow upon the promises and believe in God's graciousness, and believe that, in fact, we will find those promises fulfilled somehow. And what God tells us is, yes, I promise these things, and the promise is overwhelming. You know, all these wonderful things that showed up in that first reading, and from Isaiah. All the kind of food you want will be taken care of. Your political problems will be answered. You'll not make any mistakes about which way you go. There'll be plenty of seed. I mean, all these different things, these promises. And God says, don't worry, I will take care of things, and I will fulfill these promises. Well, thank God. that we have the fulfillment reflected in today's gospel reading. Jesus makes good on God's promises. Jesus does, in fact, come into our society, gives us answers to our question, direction to our curiosity, understanding where there's doubt and kind of inconsequential questioning. All those kinds of things are summed up in the teaching of Jesus. So the promises are made, but in this case, unlike so many of our politicians in our own society, in this case, the promises are fulfilled in Jesus. And not only are those promises fulfilled, but Jesus makes sure that the fulfillment process will continue on. And how does he do that? He appoints the disciples and, in fact, us to carry on the fulfillment of those promises in our own world and our own lives. So we hear those promises. We realize that Jesus has made good on the promises and that he now gives us the responsibility to try to preach that good news, the good news that Jesus made good on God's promises. And it means developing a kind of a positive attitude. It means developing a perspective that is hopeful and that we are consistent in our efforts to act out the life that God gives us through Jesus. And part of that life is the fulfillment, the recognition of needs, and then the fulfillment of promises to satisfy those needs. So, I mean, it's a wonderful gift that we've received. And it's also, it stands out as unusual when we're surrounded by so much in our own world, in our own society, particularly during these election times, to realize that promises will be made, but they won't be kept. And they'll not only not be kept, they'll be ignored. Jesus says, that's not true of God's promises. I make good on God's promises, and I tell you that you need to do the same thing, and you need to preach that as your message. The good news is the fulfillment of promises made by God happens in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, and is continued the teaching of Jesus into his community, into his church. That's your responsibility. It's my responsibility now. We can't blame anybody else. If we're promised something or if we promise something, we need to realize that the responsibility for fulfilling that promise rests on our shoulders. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled God's promises and then not only taught us how to do the same thing in our own lives, he commissioned us, he sent us out into the marketplace to preach the good news, that is, to make good on God's promises, God's eternal promises that are made present to us in the person of Jesus and continued in our world, in the community, in the church. Not a bad offering to make, and certainly countercultural from what's being made by our politicians. God promises, Jesus fulfills, we continue. Pretty clear system, pretty clear advice, pretty clear direction, so that we can live our Christian faith with a sense of happiness and purpose and fulfillment. And in that process, we find our ultimate peace, our peace now and our peace in life after, through the intercession of Jesus and in his teaching, the teaching about how to fulfill God's promises in today's world.